The Lord has already stirred your heart. And for the next few moments now, I want to look here in Romans 3, preach the Word of God. Would you stand with me out of reverence for reading of God's Word? Ain't you glad you're here?
Amen.
Amen. If you're saved tonight, I need you to be excited about it. Amen. And God wants you to be excited about it. And sinners need to see you excited about it. Amen. If a sinner's in this place tonight and is watching you, would they want what you got? Let me say that again. If there's a sinner in the building, and they probably is, if they're watching you, do they want what you got? I've met a lot of people said they saved. Son, I didn't want nothing to do with what they said they had. Amen. Amen. That crowd looks like they've been chewing on persimmons all day long. Amen. And we ought to be excited about being saved. Now, I want you to know, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're looking at one child of God that is absolutely glad for the day that I called on the name of the Lord, that He came by my way and changed my life. I want to tell you about that this evening. Romans chapter number 3. And boy, we'd do well to read this entire chapter this evening. Could I do that? Let's just do it. I'm only going to preach maybe from mainly one verse tonight. But let's read this chapter in its entirety. It is the Word of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. And there's some people here tonight. You need to be saved. What I'm about ready to do in reading this chapter, this is what God says, not what this preacher thinks. This evening the Bible said, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my life unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19 will be our text verse this evening. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin. sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at the time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? Or it is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes. Yes, thank God, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Brother Billy, give me a little volume right here in my ear. This evening I'm interested. Go back to verse number 19. The Bible said, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. I'm interested in the last three words of verse number 19. I want to preach on the thought, guilty before God. Guilty before God. Innocent, yes, in your mind. Innocent, yes, in the eyes of mankind. But absolutely guilty before God. Father, this evening, you know where we are. You know who's here. You know, Lord, who's saved and who's not. You know those that are struggling, Lord, over, Lord, the very thing that we're going to preach tonight. God, I pray you'd make the Word of God alive and help us tonight to preach in demonstration of Spirit and of power. And God, help us to communicate clearly the truths of the gospel and the saving message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you are just and the justifier of those that believe on Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, all that come unto you, you'll in no wise cast out. But God, tonight I'm praying this evening as we preach, may God, every sinner in this place tonight understand that they are absolute sinners. They are guilty before God. And there's nothing they can do about it in and of themselves. And God, we pray tonight conviction would fall and sinners would find themselves calling upon the name of the Lord. Help us now, Lord, this evening and all that you do. We'll give you the glory for it, seen and unseen, everything done. The glory will belong to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Romans 3, as we've read it in its entirety this evening, we understand basically as we've read this tonight, that the Apostle Paul, I think maybe we can break this down tonight, this chapter down into three sections this evening. In the first 9 verses, Paul lays forth an argument to the crowd that he's writing to this evening. And the argument is simply this. He's writing a crowd of Jews and think that, my friend, they're better. They think they've excelled because they have performed some deed of the law in this matter of circumcision. And so Paul asks the question in verse number 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? What advantage has this religious crowd over anybody else? And so then he moves to the question, what profit is there of circumcision? Is there any profit that you've gone through this deed of the law? And Paul surprises them and said, oh yes, you've got a chief profit in that, my friend. In doing this, you know that you've received the very word and the law of God. And he argues the point, he gives an argument, if you will, and they're held to even a more higher accountability unto God as they have received the law and the word of God, which was designed not that they would be saved by it, but that they would be convinced of their sinfulness and be brought to God by the grace of God. And he goes down through here, he said, what then, verse 9, are we better than thee? And let me say this evening as we get our feet on the ground. That's a good question for men to ask themselves. Are you better than anybody else? You say, preacher, I've lived a better life. I'm better, and so across the building. Well, the Apostle Paul said, no, in no way. That is, there's none of us any better than the other. And my friend, the argument that he lays out is that, my friend, no man is better than anybody else. And sometimes we, as believers and Christians, get it in our mind that we're better. And you've heard me say around here often, we're not better, we're just different. Amen. We're still wrapped in the same flesh and we still have the same sin nature, but thanks be unto God and the grace of Almighty God, we have been made absolutely different. And so no, in no ways, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And that is his argument. And if you could say, moves from an argument to an accusation. Amen. It's plain that he's arguing tonight that, my friend, we are all under sin. My friend, he moves from the argument to the accusation. And he said, hey, a word of God is plainly said, and we studied it several weeks ago in Psalm 14, or the word of God said, David said, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a person in the building tonight that doesn't fall under that accusation. In fact, the accusation moves from that, where Paul begins to really drive the point home. Amen. He says here as he comes down in the verse number 12, he said, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And so man tries to justify himself. Paul said the accusation is that, my friend, man is absolutely not good. That man is absolutely wicked. And to prove that accusation, he talks about their throat in verse 13. He deals with their words and their mouth in verse 14. He deals, my friend, with their feet. They're swift to shed blood. And, my friend, he deals with the fact of destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. And here is the real problem with lost humanity tonight, is that there is no fear of the Lord before there is. And, friend, listen, you're not as good as you think you are. Amen. The fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. And that, as Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, that the whole duty of man was to fear the Lord and to depart from evil. And so Paul makes the argument, the accusation, that man is not only in sin, but man has nothing good to offer God. Amen. You say, well, I'll offer God my words. And Paul said, oh, your words is like poison, and it's all filled with deceit and bitterness and cursing in the ears of God. You say, but preacher, man, my ways and the way that I've lived my life is a good way. Well, Paul said it ain't as good as you think it is, and it is filled with, my friend, misery and destruction. Amen. It's filled with a way that knows nothing of peace with God. Oh, this with me moves from an argument to an accusation, where Paul closes this chapter in verse 20 and follow it. And, my friend, there is an answer to this matter of the problem that man has, and that being specifically the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the help of God, we'll get there tonight. In Paul's argument and accusation of the lost human race, go back to verse number 19 with me. The Bible said, now we know at what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, and every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever seen yourself guilty before God? Apostle Paul, in his accusation and argument, Brother Danny says that the world stands guilty before God. And in this chapter, Paul is going to take you in that, if you could in your mind think of it this way, into the very courts of heaven, the very courts of God. We're standing before a judge. The world is there, and every individual of lost humanity is there before God. And Brother Day, Paul said, the verdict is given, and the judgment is passed, and man is guilty before God. The word guilty the Apostle Paul uses here literally means to be under judgment, to be under sentence, or more to be under condemnation. Do you remember when Nicodemus came to the Lord in John chapter number 3, and he began this conversation with the Lord, and the Lord said, "Hey, big boy, I know you're interested in my religion. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now Nicodemus and the Lord get into this conversation, and then Jesus closes his message to Nicodemus by saying that, "My friend, man is already under the condemnation of God. It's not something that he's just headed to, that he's under it tonight. If you're here and you're lost, you are guilty, amen, and you are under the sentence and the judgment and the condemnation of Almighty God." That's what it means to be guilty. So many people are trying to prove their innocence tonight, to prove as if they don't need God and they don't need saving and they don't need grace. And really it all boils down to they've never, Brother Chris, seen themselves being guilty before God. Amen. This word guilty, it means to be liable to punishment. It means, Lucas, tonight, and the world stands, amen, in a place where they owe a debt to God. God has passed the verdict and the sentence, amen. He has surveyed all the evidence, and man stands guilty, and now he must face a punishment or the guiltiness of sin that is committed. And I say this is not foreign teaching in the Word of God. In Romans chapter number 6, the Bible said, "And the wages of sin is death." There's always a price. There's always a punishment and comes along with having sin. You say, "But preacher, I've not sinned as many sins as somebody else has sinned." But yes, commit one sin, my friend, makes you a sinner. In fact, you've got a sin nature on the inside of you, makes you absolutely guilty before God. And there is a payday someday, amen, where being guilty, amen, God will hold you liable, amen, for being punished. When you think about being liable, we think about liability. And if you got a car, amen, you got to have liability insurance. That means that if you go out and you harm somebody, that, my friend, they're going to hold you responsible, amen, for taking care of that. And I say 2,000 years ago, my friend, mankind rejected the Son of God, and rejecting Him, nailed Him to a cross, and despised the grace of God. And my friend, God holds you tonight as a man accountable and liable, and you will be punished one day. You are absolutely guilty before God. The word guilty tonight, are y'all with me this evening? Hang with me. I'm going to preach in a minute. The word guilty, it denotes tonight one who is bound to do or suffer what is imposed for the sake of justice because he has neglected that which is right. In other words, it means that the convict has gone before the judge, all the evidence has been laid out, and the judge has surveyed it all, and the judge has come to the conclusion this man has not done what is right, and now he must be bound to what the law says, and whatever the verdict the law passes is the verdict and the punishment that he must bear. Well, what does the law of God say? The law of God says the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And friend, the law of God is a serious thing to need. Amen. What God has said and what God has given and how God has passed down judgment through his law, a sinner, my friend, mankind is accountable to that law. And there's law after law after law in the Word of God. And there's no way you're good enough to keep every law. And so, my friend, God said, and to offend in one matter of the law, amen, is to be guilty of breaking all of the law of God. You see, they're all intertwined. They're all connected. Amen, friend, as you stand before God, amen, it only takes, my friend, you break it, one of God's laws to subject you unto the entirety of the law of God. And so the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Why? Because it's guilty before God. Brother Tony, it's guilty standing before the Lord. There's no getting out of it. We used to have a jail ministry in my first church, and we'd go up every Sunday night after we get done with our Sunday evening service. But then we'd go down there and we'd teach them men the Word of God. It's amazing. You go into jail and you go into prison, and the majority of those men, man, they claim they're innocent. Hey, man, they've been the judge. The evidence has been laid out. They've been judged by a jury of their peers. And Brother Will, none of them in there. Hey, man, they all try to convince you, man, I need your help. I didn't do what they said I've done. And what they're trying to do is say, I'm not guilty. And in fact, the judge has already pronounced the sentence, and they've been found guilty. But my friend, far greater and far more serious than a human court is the court of God. That Paul said, that my friend, mankind is guilty before God. Amen. There's a payday coming. God has the record. Amen. He's not a corrupt judge. He's never missed any evidence. He's, my friend, has everything, and he needs to pass the sentence, and you're liable to the judgment and the verdict, and it's already been passed. You are guilty before God. You're not going to be guilty. You're already found guilty. You say, but preacher, that's not fair. Fair or not fair. Amen. The argument of Romans 5 is this. That man is born into this guilt. He is born after him and his sin nature passed down. And then in Adam we have all sinned and we're all in trouble. Amen. After him we're all headed to hell. And we're all headed, after him, to an eternity absolutely separated from the grace of God. And so is man guilty. Man's guilty. Now listen, stand up here. Amen. Would y'all agree with me? And this is a handsome young man this morning or this evening. I mean, man, you look at it, a preacher's son, and you think, oh, boy, that's a good old boy. Listen to me. Amen. Listen to me. He's got his daddy's blood flowing in his veins. Amen. And his daddy has his daddy's blood flowing in his veins. And his daddy, amen, has his daddy's blood flowing in his veins. And my friend, what you say is a sharp-looking young man, a young man that may have it all together. Now, Brother Sam claims to be saved. We believe he to be. My friend, listen, there's nothing good about it. He's absolutely corrupt. He's absolutely depraved. He was born standing guilty before God. Say, but that's not right. I just can't believe that. Believe it or don't believe it. Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. We're living in a generation, my friend, of a philosophy that says mankind, amen, is in this thing of evolution, and we're evolving and we're getting better. And I remind you, we're not getting better. We're getting worse. And man is getting more depraved and more wicked and more sinful. And my friend, mankind has always and will always stand guilty before God. Guilty. Guilty. I mean, can you imagine standing? I don't like, and I've got to get better about not speeding. I don't even like to get pulled over by a state trooper. Can I get a witness right there? I don't like the law. I don't like being on the wrong side of having violated a law. Amen. Them blue lights go to flashing, man. I go hitting the brake pedal and screeching it. Amen. Slowing down and whistling Dixie like I didn't do nothing wrong. And a praying, oh God, please don't let him be pulling me over. Why? Because I don't like being on the wrong side of the law. Amen. There's something in me. I was just raised that way. I guess maybe I wasn't because I still speak. Amen. But I was raised to respect the law, to fear the law. Amen. You don't want to be in trouble with the law and just to get pulled over. And my friend, if you've ever had to go in the courtroom and, amen, pay a ticket or go before a judge, I mean, it's just a little bitty old ticket, but there's just something about that man walking out of the side rope with that black robe on and hitting that gavel, amen, that makes me nervous. Why? Because he has the power to say, Ledbetter, you are guilty. Let me say this evening, guilty before God. Consider with me tonight the totality of man's guilt. Let me come to this verse of Scripture. The Bible said that Paul makes this statement that all the world, not part of the world, not Israel, not America, amen, not just Brazil, not just the Gentile nation, not just pagans that bow down to Buddha and other gods, but Paul said there's the totality of man's guilt at all the world. Amen. All the world. Who's guilty tonight? All the world is guilty. You're guilty. Your spouse is guilty. Your children are guilty. Your mom and daddy's guilty. We stand. Listen, the totality of man's guilt is there has never been a man that wasn't guilty before God. Amen. In fact, the whole argument of Romans 3 is there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Words such as, all men are sinners, and no man, my friend, seek after God. Amen. What did he say? He said, my friend, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. What is the argument? Brother Mark, the argument is that there's the totality of guilt. That man, just because he lives and breathes and has Adam's blood in his face and he has been tainted, it doesn't matter. Amen. If you was born a Baptist or born a Catholic or born religious or born in a drunkard's home, the fact of the matter is we all stand guilty before God. The totality of man's guilt. Amen. You see tonight, the fact of the matter is, amen, you think you're good. You think you've kept all the rules. You think that you've lived up to all of God's standards. And it's amazing, man, what men are trusting in. Amen. What men use to justify, amen, their own guiltiness before God. God has said you're guilty. And then men come up. Well, I've never cussed, and so I'm all right with God. God said you're guilty. Well, I've never drank a beer, but God said you're guilty. Well, I've never gone to this place and done that. But God says you're guilty. The totality of man's guilt is that all men are sinners. Amen. You don't have to kill anybody. You don't have to get drunk. You don't have to stick needles in your arms. You don't have to curse and take the name of the Lord God in vain. The fact of the matter, you have a depraved nature that even as we read this morning, the thought of foolishness is sin. Amen. Just to think about doing something wrong. Amen. Listen, God says, I see your heart. And when you have a desire on the inside, that's what Jesus taught in his earthly ministry. And if a man look on a woman and lust after her in his heart, he's already committed adultery. But I've never committed adultery. But Jesus said that just to lust after a woman in your heart is to be guilty of violating God's commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. Amen. Jesus over and over in his earthly ministry said the law said this, but I'm saying this. And he said, you think you're justified because you've not done this physically or outwardly, but to do these things in your heart and to lust and to desire them, the way that you desire them is to be guilty before God. Amen. I'm preaching to a generation tonight that does not like to admit I'm a sinner. Getting saved's easy. Brother Mike, getting saved's easy. I'm glad God didn't say you got to rub beads. I'm glad, Betty, that he didn't say we had to climb steps on our knees. Just, amen. I'm glad he didn't say that I had to strap bombs on my body and go blow people up so I could be saved. Getting saved's easy. That, amen, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But my friend, the hard part in salvation is getting somebody to admit I'm guilty before God. The totality of man's guilt. Notice with me the truth about man's guilt. Notice what the Bible said in that verse. Paul said, we know that whatsoever things are written in the law, amen, that they are written, that what, for what reason? That all mouths may be stopped. In other words, God takes the law of God and lays it out and measures your life not by the standard of a preacher, not by the standard of somebody who is not as good as you are, but He measures you in the head by the law of God. And the law of God stands there and it shuts every mouth. You cannot argue against the law of God. You can try. You can try to justify yourself. You can try to continue to cling to your own goodness. Whether you like it or not, it's already a verdict that has been passed. That you are guilty. It's the truth of the matter that must be accepted. Men will argue with you till you're blue in the face. They're blue in the face. Brother Danny, they'll argue and they'll argue and they'll argue and they'll justify themselves until they see themselves in light of the law of God. I can remember being a 17-year-old boy, a preacher's kid, a preaching daddy and a praying mama, and thinking that was going to be enough to get me into heaven. But you know what I learned? That, my friend, the law of God condemned me to be guilty of sin just like everybody else was. Amen. And I would try to justify myself. I sang in the choir. I sang special music. I led singing from time to time. I taught a Sunday school class. I was involved in the work of God. And I done everything I could to try to justify my own salvation and merit before God. But you know what the law of God did? The law of God shut my mouth and made me see myself for what I was. We're living in a generation of what has been termed as easy believism, that a man, a woman, a little boy, a girl can run down the altar, say a little prayer, and then all of a sudden, bang, they are right and saved with God. Hogwash. Salvation is of the Lord. If a man, I don't care if they're 37 or 7, they must see themselves guilty before God. Now, obviously, somebody Sammy's age and growing up in a preacher's home and being hedged about and not allowed to be involved in certain things, amen, he's not had the experience of sin, but he still has been tainted by the same sin nature. That there are men that my friend, in this place that have not got saved till later on in their years and drank enough beer to amen, choke a fish. And my friend have done abominable things by way of outward sins. But my friend, listen, what one must admit his guilt as a sinner before God the same as the other. Guilty. Guilty. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying there's the truth of it. And until you quit justifying yourself, amen, it's amazing. Even church folk and people that my friend here preaching on a regular basis, you ever talk to them about being saved? Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. I've done this and I've done that. And there's nothing about the Lord Jesus. The truth of the matter is, when you really see yourself guilty, you don't have to try to convince anybody. The truth about man's guilt. Notice with me the terror of man's guilt. The Bible said that all the world may become what? Guilty before God. Not Buddha. You're not standing one day in front of a little fat bellied statue. You're not going to stand one day before Allah. You're not going to stand one day before a man who wears a dress and calls himself father. The day is coming that John said he saw heaven and earth fled away and there was found no place for them, and that, our friend, the sea and the earth gave up the dead which were in them, and mankind had to stand in the very presence of Almighty God. You won't be able to hide behind who your mama is, who your daddy is. You won't be able to hide behind your King James Bible. You won't be able to hide behind your children. You won't be able to hide and run out and, my friend, get away in invitation time. My friend, listen, there's coming a day there'll be no place to hide. And Paul said you're going to be guilty before God. Can you imagine that in your mind? Our world's so messed up in their theology about God and who God is. Thank God He is love, and I'll deal with that in a moment. God is love, and He's merciful, and He's gracious, and His mercy endures forever. My friend, the fact of the matter is there's coming a day as mercy will run out towards sinners. And you'll be cast in a lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. And the last thing you hear from God is you are a guilty sinner. The terror of man's guilt to think about standing before God in all your sin and all your sin nature, not clothed in the righteousness of Christ and the grace of God. Think about, my friend, standing before God. Paul said, you're not guilty before men. You're guilty before God. The terror. But notice the transfer of man's guilt, and I'm done. Paul argues the fact in much of this chapter that we're all sinners. We're all guilty before God. There's none righteous. No, not one. Not you, not me, not my children, not your children, not my mom and daddy, and not yours. We're all guilty. All guilty before God. But I'm glad He didn't leave us hanging there. Hallelujah, Brother Mac, I'm glad that He didn't leave me standing before God, shaking and in fear, waiting for the hammer of judgment, waiting for the gavel to sentence me to an eternity without God. I'm glad the Apostle Paul said, amen, listen, you're trying to be good and keep the law to be saved, but no flesh is going to be justified by the deeds of the law. But He didn't stop there. Let me see your Bible, Brother Danny. Notice with me, if you will. Praise God. This is good. He said, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look here for a minute. A transfer that takes place. First of all, there must be a convincing that you are indeed guilty before God. The law, being good, keeping God's rules, don't save you. It teaches you how wicked you really are. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Then Paul said in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The fact of the matter is, you say, preacher, what do I do with my guilt? What do I do? Listen, if you go into court, amen, and you've been pronounced guilty, amen, listen, you're going to jail, you're going to slammer, they're going to lock you up, they're going to deal with you, but in the court of God, thank God, there is such a thing as a transfer of man's guilt. You see, 2,000 years ago, amen, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, amen, to be a propitiation for mankind's sin. Thank God He came, and He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made a righteousness of God in Him. Amen. It ain't transferred because I joined the church. It wasn't transferred because I got baptized. It wasn't transferred because I turned a new leaf and started doing better. Thank God, it was transferred because of the day I called on His name. I believed and received His righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. The innocent dying for the guilty, that the guilty might receive the innocent and be declared what? Justified. The language that the Apostle Paul uses here, he said, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified. Justified freely. Not just justified, but you ain't got to put no money down. Amen, you ain't gotta earn it. You ain't gotta, amen, labor for it and work for it. Amen, you don't have to do anything to try to merit. Amen, this being justified. Amen, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, the fact of the matter is, you've got to come to the place where you admit, I'm guilty before God. I deserve hell. I deserve all the wrath of God. I deserve everything God's law pushes my way. To bow on your knee and say, I am guilty. But you said, I could, I could receive Christ. I could lay my faith in Him and my trust in Him. And in doing so, there would be a transfer that he and she and they that are guilty would be made justified. Justified. That is, just as if you were never guilty. God takes those that are guilty, all their sin and all their sin nature, and God declares him justified on the merits of the grace of Almighty God. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't think I'm that bad. Yeah, you're that bad. But he's that good. There's none good, but thank God there is one that, amen, is the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And he is good, and he is filled with grace. And Paul said, you can be justified freely. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You see, you've got to know that you need saving. That old Philippian jailer knew he was guilty. He said, man, I'm guilty. And the wrath of God fell on his heart and his soul, and he trembled in fear being guilty before God and wanted to know, is there a way to get out of the guilt? Paul said, there's a way. It's in him. Amen. It's amazing what people's are trusting in. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. I prayed a prayer when I was 5 years old. Boy, I wouldn't trust that. Here's what Paul said. If you ask Paul, are you saved, Paul? He'd say, I know in whom I have believed. Paul didn't say, I know what prayer I prayed. He said, I know in whom I have believed. Amen. I'm about to run. I wish I had strength to let her roll this evening. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, the day I got saved, amen, there was a transfer, my guilt or his righteousness, my wickedness or his ability to save my soul. And I'm not trusting in the name of goodness and the merit of Ledbetter. Thank God the merit and the grace and the righteousness of Almighty Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The fact of the matter is there can be a transfer. Justified. What does Paul say? Paul says here in this passage of Scripture, he said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God, speaking of Christ, God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Not saved tonight because of my behavior. I'm saved tonight because of His blood. If it was on my behavior, son, if you knew how wicked I've been since I called on the Lord and got saved, amen, listen, if it was about my behavior, I'd have done lost it for sure. But now, thank God, what I got is eternal and secure, not rooted in my behavior, but in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm about to feel like preaching Revelation 1. John the Beloved said unto him who had loved us, thank God I'm glad that he loved me one day and went to an old rugged cross and died and shed his blood. And he said, not only did he love me, but he said he washed us. Amen. Unto the one who loved us and washed us. I don't carry around no guilt anymore. I ain't got the sin baggage. And I once had, thank God, he loved me and he loved me enough. I'd take me to a fountain filled with blood one day and I might be washed from all my sin. You say, if you're going to get saved, you've got to be washed. Washed in what? You mean go get a bath? I don't mean go get a bath. I mean run to the darling Lamb of God that laid down His life, that John the Baptist said, behold, a Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Has He taken it away through the blood of Himself? Loved us. Washed us. And John the Beloved said He made us. What did He make us? Kings and priests. Made our lives completely different. We went from being guilty before God to standing, amen, as God's friends and standing there absolutely made righteous in the sight of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To declare His righteousness Watch this now. His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. You say, preacher, what's that mean? That means God takes it away. There is a remission. There is a remission of sins that are past. Kathy, that simply means everything that you were before you got saved, in the moment you got saved, God takes it all away. Remission. They're gone. Say, preacher, how do I deal with this guilt? You got to get the sin gone. The sin's got to get gone. The sin's what makes you guilty. But here's the thing, you can't do nothing about your own sin. It takes His righteousness reaching down and, my friend, taking away your sin. What am I saying? I'm saying it's rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what He said, through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Can I say tonight, God is the justifier. You're not, I'm not, I wish. You know what I wish, son? I wish as easy as smacking people on the head. Son, I'd lay some people out. And they'd be saved in the name of Jesus. But I'm not the justifier. Jeff ain't the justifier. Thank God there's one at the right hand of Almighty God who is just. What's that mean? That means He's good, He's innocent, He did no wrong. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. God Himself said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's just, and because He's just, Roger, He's the justifier of every man, woman, boy, and girl that will humble themselves down enough to say, I may not understand it all, but God said, I'm guilty. And I'm not going to argue with the judge. The judge said, I'm guilty. His word has told me what I am. I'm just going to receive what He said and let God be true and every man a liar. Let me be the liar. Let God be true. I am guilty. And to come to the place where you say, I'm not just, but He is. I can't save myself, but He can. Fall down on bended knee and call out on the name of God and be saved by the grace of God. You know why that man right there could stand and pray and be excited about Calvary and excited about where he's headed? Because there's a time that old brother Danny seen himself guilty and called on the grace of God. How many people tonight you say by uplifted hand, I know I'm saved. I'm saved and I know that I'm saved. I'm saved and I know that I am. Would you agree with me tonight? You're not saved because of anything you've done. You're saved tonight because you called on Him and He did what He said He would do. And the transfer that takes place is unbelievable. You're here tonight, you couldn't raise your hand. Can I remind you the Lord Jesus Christ loves you? Amen. And He'll save you tonight. If you'll understand what you are, come to Him just an old guilty sinner and say, you're all I got. If you don't save me, I'm going to hell. You say, does that work? It works. I remember the morning I got saved, did Sister Candy have to leave? What's that? Okay. Come on, baby doll. Don't mess up. September the 14th, 1996. Little after 4 o'clock in the morning, a preacher's kid, everybody thought I was a good little boy. They didn't see the meanness that was on the inside of me. But God did. 2 weeks before September the 14th, I walked in the First Baptist Church of Garden City, Michigan. Brother Jason Kendrick, old wild Yankee preacher, stomping, sweating, screaming, jumping up and down. God took the message and the law of God and the Word of God in his mouth. Began to hit my heart with it. Said, you know you ain't as good as you think you are. You ain't as good as everybody else thinks you are. You're guilty. You're a wicked, rotten, low-down, sorry sinner. You deserve hell and you deserve it right now. Some for 2 weeks, the Holy Ghost just hammered that home. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're going to go to hell. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're going to bust it wide open. You're guilty before God. September the 14th, I rolled out of the bed, said, Lord, I'm sick and tired of trusting in who my daddy is, who my mama is, what churches I belong to, what preachers I've heard. I am tired of the guilt that's on my life. You're all I have. You say, did it work? After about 17 years, it's still working. It's a transfer and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You say, are you worried tonight about the guilt coming back? Are you worried? No, I'm not worried about it because it didn't start with me and it ain't going to end with me. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace and the power of His blood. Long as there's a drop of blood in glory, praise God, I'm saved. Amen. You say, can you rest assured? Well, Paul, or John rather, said over there at the end of the tribulation period, all the saints of God are going to come back, that the Lord's going to have a vesture dipped in blood. Long as there's blood, I'm saved. Son, I'm glad tonight the blood has not lost its power. And on the merits and the base of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved tonight. I want you to come. There's some of you here this evening, we prayed for you. You know you need to be saved. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I'm just wore out and tired. I don't feel like I've dropped the ball all day long preaching. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus still saves. Jesus still saves. Would you stand with me? Father, I love you tonight, and I want to thank you again for the day you saved me. Thank you again, Lord, for the day that the Holy Ghost came by and showed me what I was. Lord, I remember it. Lord, I remember them 2 weeks, Lord, trying to justify myself. As you pronounced me guilty, you told me what I was. And Lord, I tried to tell you how good I was. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on me. Thank you, Lord, that you made it real and you made the truth come alive. And Lord, you showed me what I was. Lord, I'm saved today because you took the time, Lord, to... Lord, just show me what I was and then extend mercy and grace and love to me. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd do it again for somebody else. There's people here this evening, Lord, their guilt has never been transferred. Lord, I pray tonight they find themselves, Lord, on the altar of God. Lord, ready to receive the mercy and the grace and the blood of the Lord Jesus that will change their life. Lord, maybe this evening they're just... They've been trying to argue the point that they're not as bad as you said they were. Lord, I pray tonight they'd let you be true. Let themselves be a liar. And Lord, may they find themselves tonight, Lord, at a place, Lord, at this crossroads of their life, ready to receive all that Christ can do for them. I love you, Lord. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. Begin playing there, Maddie. No one's looking around. Sister Maddie's a playing. There's several that have come tonight. Here's what I want to ask you this evening. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. Is anybody anywhere, young or old, you'd say, no one's looking around now, just God and the preacher. So looking tonight, you'd say, uplifted hand, Brother Jeff, preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I'm not ready to go to heaven. I'm not ready to stand before God. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I'm not asking you, are you coming? I'm not asking you to make any decision right now. But you just say where you stand. Preacher, please pray for me. I'm concerned enough about my own soul. God, show me what I am. I need to be saved. I've never been saved. Preacher, please pray for me. Say, one anywhere. Sir, what about it? You say, I'm concerned about it enough tonight to lift my hand. Ma'am, what about it this evening? Do you care enough about it that you'd let this preacher, ask this preacher to pray for you? Here's what I want to ask you now this evening. You'd say, preacher, God bless you. Ma'am, God bless you. Here's what I want to ask you to do. You raised your hand. You're guilty before God. That ain't going to change until you come to Him. Here's what the Bible said, Hebrews 11. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You can come tonight and be saved. Right now where you stand, you can come tonight. We're not going to take you through opinions what I preach to you tonight. It's the Word of God. He said, preacher, I'm so tired of the guilt. I'm tired of feeling guilty. Can I say the only way you're going to get rid of that, ma'am, sir, young person, the only way you're going to get rid of that tonight is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you come? Listen, I'm going to pray here right now. Sister Maddie's playing. Would you think about it? Would you think about it tonight? So, preacher, if I come down there, everybody's going to know I'm a sinner. Hey, listen, you're in a congregation of people that are sinners. We already know what you are, and we know what Jesus can do for you. Father, tonight, Lord, please help these or these. Lord, these two or three have raised their hand tonight. God, Lord, you know where they are. God, Lord, they know they need to be saved. God, they've admitted, Lord, where they stand, that if they died, they're not ready to stand before God. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, may the guilt that they're under, the condemnation, the sentence that has been passed, the verdict that has been given, Lord, don't let them get away from it till they come to the Lord. Lord, don't let them shove it off, Lord, right now while you're speaking and while you're dealing with their heart. God, I pray, Lord, that they'd run to Jesus. Lord, tonight, would you work it in them? Lord, this evening, Lord, would you work in their hearts and lives, drawing them to yourself, drawing them to the Lord Jesus. Tonight, may in faith and repentance they find themselves coming to God. Lord, please help them, Lord. Give them the courage they need to step out. Admit what they are. And admit who they need that they might be saved tonight. In Jesus' name, no one's looking around. Here's what I want to ask you. Listen, I'm going to step down here. Some of you know you need to come tonight. We ain't going to tarry invitation long. I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to meet you. And the Lord's going to meet you. You step out where you are right now this evening. You're among friends. Ma'am, sir, young person, you're among friends tonight. The friend that sticketh closer than any brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, He urges you to come tonight. Say, preacher, will He have me? He'll have you. Remember the verse we've been quoting every week. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Here's what Paul said, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's about as far as I've been quoting, but Paul said, of whom I'm chief. You know what Paul said? Paul said he was accounting himself to be the most guilty of any sinner. Now, we know according to what we study tonight, nobody's more or less guilty than anybody else. But Paul believed himself to be the worst kind of sinner and that God had saved him. The chiefest of sinners. God has saved Paul. God has saved you. God would make him stand redeemed and have an experience of the remission of sin. God will do it for you. Maybe you walked in here tonight and you thought you was all right, but God, through the singing, and God, through the preaching, and God, through His Word, has showed you what you are. Won't you come tonight? Don't leave this service under guilt. Don't leave it under guilt. Leave being guilty. Leave being declared righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll meet you now. Would you come? Just keep playing, Maddie. Everybody look this way for a minute. Give one more invitation here. Not because we ain't got nothing better to do. A few weeks ago, Jennifer got saved. You regret it, Jennifer? Lord made a difference in your life. Amen. Even that old, I'm not getting in her business, that old mean husband of hers called her up this week, said, "There's something different about you out there." Said, "Oh yeah, I got saved." That's a good way to respond. She'd been saved a few weeks. Brother A.L., how long you been saved? 42 years? 40 years. You regret getting saved 40 years ago? It's a good day, wasn't it?
Amen.
Best day of your life. Jerry, how long you been saved? 30 years. You regret it? Don't regret it. Guilt's gone. Peace with God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it works just like that. Only thing I regret, I got saved at 17. Only thing I regret that I didn't get saved before then. I heard enough gospel to save the world. I knew what I was in my heart. I knew what I was. I could try to justify myself through who my mom and daddy was all day long. Fact of the matter is, Brother Tony, I knew what it was. Guilty before God. She's going to play one more verse. No one's looking around. If you raised your hand, won't you come tonight? It works. Jesus works. Salvation works. The grace of God tonight works. You're not going to be good enough to convince God. You're not what God says you are. He's provided somebody for you. You can be saved tonight. Amen. Everybody look this way. Thank you, Maddie. We're going to end there. Can't make you come.